Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
0-2. Yes. He struck him out. Sox win it 1-0, and for the first time in over 7 decades, the Boston Red Sox have won 100 games. First time since 1946.
So you go, 100 wins for the Red Sox, first time in 72 years. By the way, that 1946 team did not win the World Series, just as a point of note. The two other teams in Red Sox history got to the World Series and won it, and that was like over 100 years ago. We're talking 1912, 1915. Personally, to me, the 100 wins doesn't mean anything. So if you want to get all geeked up about that, great. It's a nice little footnote on this 2018 season, but we all know where the real stakes are for this team in October, and that's where ultimately the final decision on the 2018 Red Sox will be made. I'm going to ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, to open up the phones right away. 617-779-0985. Does that make me negative, Murray, that I don't want to spend a whole ton of time on the 100 wins?
No, because I don't think it's worth spending a lot of time on. Look, it's a nice footnote, like you said. It's never happened in my lifetime. I didn't think I would ever see it, but it never really mattered all that much to me. All that ever mattered is if this team could win a World Series. Thankfully, they've done that multiple times now, and I'd like to see them do it one more time. The 100 wins, neat. Like, other than that, I don't really care.
Okay, so here's what I would say to Red Sox fans and the 100 win total from last night. If you believe strongly that it means something and you can convince me, by all means, give me a call. 617-779-0985. Have a blast. I think you're going to lose. Because I don't see how you're going to change my mind on it. To me, all that matters is the fact that the Red Sox win the division. And if you want to go so far as to tell me that finishing with the best record in the league means something because you'll have home field advantage, fine. I'll take that too. But that has nothing to do with 100 wins. You could just as easily get that with 99 in many years. Okay, so the 100 wins in and of itself, honestly, I don't give a rat's ass. That said, let me ask everyone a question in general. And I'd love to get your thoughts, Murray, and yours as well, Jimmy Stewart, before we get to Alex Cora and some of the things he said at Fenway Park. If I were to say to you, what was the most important thing that happened at Fenway Park last night? Good or bad? Okay? The most important thing that happened at Fenway Park last night that could impact the Red Sox in October, or, you know, the most interesting thing, you know, to me, they're sort of the same thing. What is it?
Steven right out of the bullpen again. And that they're... It really looks like they're going to possibly give that a go because they don't trust anybody else on the wheel of gutless bums that's in that bullpen, and rightfully so.
Jimmy Stewart?
David Price pitching well in a close game, in a 1-0 game.
Okay, I would say in that order, bullpen and Price. I mean, they're close because I think this run Price is on, if Price were to ever carry it into October, oh boy, everything changes. I mean, everything changes. All of a sudden, you have Sale, Price going 1-2, like two guys coming at you with the ability to win consistently. Like, that changes everything. There are a lot of teams that have won championships with two guys firing on all cylinders. Most notably, you go back to the Diamondbacks in 01 with two aces out there. And that was an extreme case with Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, obviously. But in the Red Sox, Pedro and Schilling, like, you get two guys going, that's a different sort of thing. Now the other team's looking at you going, how are we going to beat you? We're going to be down 2-0 before whipping our eyes. But I do think that the eighth inning is the first thing on the list. And which is why I want to get to some of the things that Alex Cora said over at Fenway Park. If you're on the line, I will ask you just to sit tight for one moment. Don't go anywhere. I'll get to here in 1 minute, but I do want to get to some of the things that Cora said over at Fenway, because as is usually the case when a team like the Red Sox has as big a lead as they do, and they are closing in on a division title, it's really just a matter of time, people start looking ahead. So Cora was asked about the eighth inning, okay, in general. And I think this is a huge, huge question, because to me, they need to settle somewhere. I think ultimately it's going to be Barnes. But when he was asked about the eighth inning and his plans for the eighth inning in October, here is what Alex Cora said. It's a reasonably long answer, so I want you to listen to the whole thing, and then we'll get to the particulars. Go ahead, Jimmy.
We need versatility, guys that can match up with whoever we face, and you know, fastballs up, breaking balls, slider. I think that's the most important thing. You guys saw it early in the season how we were going with Joe and Barnsley. Now that things are going this way, you know, you see it with Pointer getting switch hitters out and lefties, and I'm not, you know, Brazier coming in the sixth inning or pitching the eighth. It's just about who can get people out and how can we match up with whoever we play. That's the most important thing. And, you know, obviously those decisions will happen before we play game 163 or we play the division series. And we'll look at the matchups that we like, what we feel we can exploit, and we go from there.
Okay, so again, that's a long answer. Okay, that's a long answer. And Cora said we've been all over, you know, we're using Pointer now, switch hitters, let them face some right-handers, et cetera, et cetera. I want Jimmy Stewart to play the beginning again, okay? Go ahead, Jimmy.
We need versatility.
Okay. Guys that keep going, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
Can match up with whoever we face in, you know, fastballs up, breaking balls, slider. I think that's the most important thing.
Okay, stop there. We need versatility. Okay, guys that can match up with whatever we're facing. Fastballs up, breaking balls down, sliders, etc. And he sort of gives you this answer like, and I don't know how you took it, Murray, or how you took it out there if you're a Red Sox fan. I heard that and I said, is he going to try to match up in the eighth? Is that how they're going to do it? Like on a game-to-game basis, depending on where they are in the lineup, he's going to look at it and say, oh, they've got three hitters coming up who are pretty good at hitting fastballs up, so we'll go with the guy who throws the slider down. Or is Cora saying, no, I got to find a guy who can get everybody out. I need to find one reliever who's versatile. Like, how do you interpret it?
I actually think it's the former.
Me too.
I don't think that there is one guy, and he knows that. But why is that necessarily such a bad thing if he were to go, you know, to matchup with, you know, pitcher to batter, considering that you can't trust any of these one guys?
Because I don't think you can do it that way, and it puts an unbelievable amount of pressure on the manager. And this is the part that scares the hell out of me, Murray, is that if you don't have a guy in the eighth inning, now the manager's got to push all the right buttons all the time. He's got to go 10 for 10. He's got to be able to navigate his way through that key part of the lineup and say, okay, Barnes gets this guy because he hits the changeup. So, you know, we're going to throw a fastball curve at him. Then the next guy hits a curve. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw a fastball changeup guy at him. Not that they have one, but you get the idea. Like, I think you can't micromanage it like that. I just, not effectively, I don't think. I mean, Tony, what, are you literally going to go batter to batter in the eighth inning? Is that what he's talking about?
Tony, the other issue is they have mostly fastball curveball pitchers.
So
Kimbrel,
that's
Thornburg, Matt Barnes, Joe Kelly, they're all fastball curveball guys. The only fastball slider guy is Brazzers, who's free trialed up.
And Hembry. Jimmy loves that free trial with Brazzers.
Three times I've used it.
Okay, so now, and Hembry's, you know what, Jimmy, just, this is the way you can say it. You can include Brazzers and Hembry in it. Fastball, breaking ball. They all throw the same thing. Fastball, breaking ball. So now, again, if Cora is saying, I got to find one guy who can get out everybody, that I agree with. The problem is they don't have it. And more importantly, they don't have a guy who can throw strikes consistently. That should scare the hell out of you. If Cora is saying, by that versatility line, I hate this answer. I can't tell you how much I hate it. That, well, no, we just got to see where we are and then pick the right guy. Well, then we're right back to the wheel of gutless bums, Murray. That's all that is. That's roulette. They're going to play roulette. Cora's going to spin the wheel and let me see who I can go to tonight.
Yeah, but that's the hand he's been dealt. And I know, look, that falls on him, too, to pick the right guy at the right time. But, you know, this still falls on Dombrowski for not addressing that issue with the trade deadline.
See, they don't have the guy. They don't have the guy. So now they're going to put a rookie manager into October and ask him to hit all the right buttons. And you know, that whole thing of micromanaging it down to what pitches certain guys hit and what pitches they don't, too much. It's too much. That's going a little too far. Ultimately, you want a guy who can get righties and lefties, and they don't have it. I'm worried for Cora's sake. That's putting an unbelievable amount of pressure on the manager. If he gets through it, great. I mean, I'll be, you know, good for him. It'll suggest that he's a way better manager than any of us could have guessed. But that sounds like a recipe for disaster, if you ask me. Let's get to your call. Steve's in a car. Steve, go.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. It's crazy for me to say this. You are 100% right. I don't think Dombrowski can evaluate bullpen talent. He trades for two guys whose arms fall off in Carson Smith and Thornburg. He lets Presley go to the Astros, and that guy is throwing bullets. And if you really want to get mad, go look at the stats for Ty Buttrey tonight. He is now the closer for the Angels, and he's got a sub-1 ERA, and he's got a strikeout an inning. So they may have actually had the guy, and they traded him for an extra second baseman.
Okay, so Steve, again, that's a good one too. And look, I am reluctant to say that Buttrey would have been the answer here. He's pitching for the Angels, non-pressure situations. Who the hell knows? If one of you guys could just look up his numbers quickly with the Angels, Ty Buttrey, because he has been pretty good with the Angels since they traded him over there. What I'm interested most in with Buttrey is the walks. Okay, because to me, that's the thing with these relievers. None of them command the ball well enough. Doug is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Doug, quickly.
Hey, man, as our first-time caller, I just want to disagree with you on the advantage of us getting to 100 wins right now. Is that, number one, it gives us a big enough lead on the Yankees that we can now rest any starters that we need to. We don't have to extend their innings. We can take starters who we want to go to the bullpen. We can give them practice coming out of the bullpen. Anybody in the lineup who's banged up, we can rest them so we can set ourselves up to be healthy as possible.
Okay, Doug, I'm going to let you go because, honestly, I'm not arguing about the lead. The fact that the lead is big allows them to do that. The 100 wins versus 99, the Red Sox had that before last night's game. When they had 99 wins, they had all of that stuff. They had the ability to rest everybody. They've had that for weeks. And we were heading towards this 100th win all year long. In fact, honestly, it probably took them a little longer to get there than we thought because they played 500 for a little while. They've been on a 115-win pace for a good chunk of the year. The 100 wins doesn't mean anything to me. If they win 108 games, 109 games, they play 670 baseball and they get to October and lose in the first round, what does the 100 wins mean? It doesn't mean anything. 617-779-0985. We'll get to Steven Wright. Jimmy tells me the other way. Ty Buttrey with the Angels, 11 and a third or 11 and two-thirds, three walks.
Three walks.
Okay, that's under 3 per 9, obviously. It's 2.5.
11 strikeouts, 2 saves, 5 holds.
Okay, what's his ERA?
0.77.
Huh, interesting. The Red Sox traded a guy who might actually be able to pitch in the late innings. Imagine that. Let's hope that guy doesn't turn anything, because then Dombrowski's really going to look like a dope. We'll get to Steven Wright next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He did a good job. Kind of like he lost it for a little bit, and that's the thing, you know. I'm gonna have to learn how to look away and knowing that he's gonna find it. And then after that, he did an outstanding job.
That's Alex Cora on Steven Wright's performance last night. Wright pitched a scoreless eighth inning, and this should have caught your eye last night. This is a little different than some of the stuff that's been going on. It was a 1-0 game when David Price came off the mound last night after the 7th. 1-0. Okay? And Steven Wright was warming in the 8th. Now, look, he got 2 innings against the Astros last week, the 7th and the 8th. But this was 1 inning, 1-0 game, you know, in the 8th to get the ball to Kimbrel. This was a clear setup situation. I mean, as clear as it gets. So Wright gets in there on the very first pitch, gives up a double to the gap in left center, then a walk, which I think was on 4 pitches. It might have been 5. I don't remember, but I know he was behind 3-0. So now you have first and second, nobody out. He gets the next 2 guys out, and then the inning ends with a line drive to right field that Mookie Betts ran and caught. Okay? So now you look at it and you say, well, scoreless 8th. So my question to you is, do the ends justify the means? Does it matter? You heard Cora say there, I just have to learn to look away. Is that how we're going to have to do it? Do you remember when Tim Wakefield got into one of the games against the Yankees? It was either game four or game five in 2004. And Jason Varitek couldn't catch the ball. Do you remember that? And how you had to hold your breath while Wakefield was on the mound. And I mean literally, like hold your breath to the point where you're going to pass out because you had a knuckleballer on the mound and a guy who couldn't catch it. Not to mention the thought in your head of, what if this thing is flat and this guy belts it into the seats the way Aaron Boone did in 03? Now look, I did a book with Wakefield. Okay, the knuckleball has great value. But in October, it's a hard thing to pin your hopes to. And I think Alex Cora knows it. So they sent right out there. On the one hand, I look at it and say, boy, this is how desperate the Red Sox are, that they might have to lean on a knuckleballer to pitch the eighth inning. On the other hand, I look at it and say, well, Barnes puts men on base. I got to hold my breath with him. Kelly, same thing. Hembry comes in with men on and lets him score lately. Thornburg, I'm holding my breath. Like, I'm holding my breath no matter what, so why not? But ideally, it should never have come to this. And I'm sorry to hit you over the head with this. I come back to this every night. If their bullpen does them in October, if the eighth inning in particular does them in October, you can all point your fingers directly at Dave Dombrowski. There'll be no gray area on that one. Pat's in Framingham, wants to talk about the 100 wins. Go ahead, Pat.
Tony, you're infuriating. If we were at 93, we'd be fighting for our lives for a playoff spot, and you complain about us beating all the bums in the league, the Orioles.
Pat, you're missing the point. You're missing the point.
If we had lost to them, you'd be complaining about that as well.
No, I'm talking about
100 wins.
Pat, I'm talking about the plateau of 100 wins. I'm not talking about a close race versus a big gap in the division. I'm saying the plateau of 100 wins. Does it mean anything to you?
Then I'm with you there. No, it means nothing. But what it means is in this year, yes, it's important because the race is tight. So they're doing well. And you're not incorporating that into your decision to decide whether or not this is important.
Okay, so look, if you want to tell me that the margin they have over the Yankees means something, then yes. Yep, they can rest and get everybody ready here. That's a rarity. It's a rare luxury to have in baseball, to have a lead this big. And the magic number is 7 now, right? The Yankees lost last night. Yeah. Red Sox won, so the magic number is now 7. 7 on September 13th. Really? Like, in a best-case scenario? This thing's over by Sunday night. Think of that. It's over Sunday night, potentially. It won't be. But by this time next week, forget it. It's all formality. Mike is in a car. Mike, go.
Hi, I wanted to talk about the 100 wins. I think it is significant just conditionally. So if they win the World Series, now as a fan, we're sitting back and we're looking at it and we're saying to ourselves, wow, we just witnessed possibly the greatest Red Sox team of all time. Without the World Series, no, it would probably mean a whole lot. But with the World Series, I mean, now we're looking at it and we're saying, you know what? This team did mean something.
Okay, so Mike, two questions before I let you go. Okay, and I understand what you're saying, that in the historical context, we'll look at it and say, oh, they went 109 games and then they went 11-2 in the playoffs. Maybe it's the greatest Red Sox team of all time. I get what you're saying. But what would you rather have? A 100-win team that didn't win the World Series or a 96-win team that did?
Well, I'd have the team that won the World Series.
Okay, and secondly, if this team played the 0-4 team, who would you bet on?
Oh, boy. Probably the 0-4 team.
Okay, so there you go. So then the greatest team in Red Sox history thing goes right out the window, too. And that's why I asked you. And look, I'm not trying to dump on this team. I'm just telling you that I think the win total is artificially inflated because the field stinks. So now look, whether they win 108 or 99, they had a great regular season. I'm not taking that away from them. Good. But honestly, the 100 wins, you know, they put it up on the scoreboard last night. To me, it was entertaining for about 5 minutes. Like, wow, they got 100. Good for them. Now, when do the playoffs start? October. Like, I'm already on to that. And I'm not being a wise ass. If this team played the 0-4 team, they'd get killed. They wouldn't just lose. They'd get killed. They would lose in five, maybe six if they're lucky. They would get destroyed. The 0-4 team was way better than this team. Collins and Taunton, go.
Hi. I'd like to touch base on the 100 wins Red Sox team. I completely agree with you. I believe the regular season, how well you do, only really counts up to if you're making the playoffs. Okay? For example, the 2003 Mariners, they won 116 games.
2001 Mariners, but go ahead.
Record. What?
2001 Mariners, but go ahead.
My mistake. 2001 Mariners beat the MLB record with major league wins at 116, and they were knocked out in the first round of the playoffs by the Yankees. At this point, the Red Sox have secured first place. They are going to the playoffs. That is great. I do agree with that. However, and as an admitted Yankee fan, I do believe that they do not have the bullpen or the starting lineup to contend with this playoff this year.
Okay, so Colin, look, I'm not telling you that because I think they do. I mean, the bullpen worries me. I don't want to lie to you on that one. That one scares the hell out of me. But if I were you, I wouldn't be all geeked up about the Yankees either. That team hasn't exactly played well. And I know there have been injuries and whatnot, but the Yankees have holes too. The one team I have consistently said that I think is pretty airtight is the Astros. And that doesn't mean the Astros will win it, because obviously it comes down to how well you play at those key points in time. So, look, the Red Sox had a better year than the Yankees did, at least in the regular season. They did last year too, and then it changed in October. So I need to see this team do it in October. That's my only point. And I'm good for them that they won 100. It'll go down in the team annals, and there'll be some sort of historical significance to it. But again, I'll tell you the same thing I said to the previous caller. What's really going to define them historically in Red Sox history? Are we going to look at them do we really talk about the 1946 team other than Pesky held the ball? Like, they're remembered for losing in the end. That's what they're remembered for. They won 104 games and they lost. So, or are we going to remember them like we remember 04, 07, and 13? Like, to me, that is the ultimate question now. So, historical context, I'd like to see them win a championship. I'd like them to prove to me that they can win in October, which brings me to that Red Sox player who clearly has more to gain than anybody else in the month of October, and I think you know who I'm talking about. And don't look now, but he's on a roll. We'll get to David Price next after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5. Sports Hub.
Winning 100 is nice, but that's not the main goal now. What will be some of the keys with this team to win it all?
The main goal now is to win 101. Like I said, this team, we're focused on today. Today is over, so we want to get to 101, and that's what we've done all year long. That's why we have 100 wins right now. That's what we need to continue to do.
David Price. Tell you what, it's a great story right now. I don't know if it's going to stay the way it's going. But when you know, with the Red Sox having this big lead, here's what really has been overlooked. David Price has saved their bacon a little bit here in the last month and a half. Chris Sale hasn't pitched. He's pitched now two games. What's a total of six innings? He threw, he's thrown 90 pitches or something in six, 7 weeks. Some ridiculous number. And you know that Red Sox starters during that span are basically 500 with an ERA of 4.22 or something. I looked it up this morning.
Yeah, and not going deep into games, too. So credit Price on this, too. At least he's, going deep into these games, unlike some of these other guys like Rodriguez or Porcello, who are maybe getting, 5 2/3 at best.
I mean, the bottom line is the rotation really has sucked now for some time.
Yeah.
Except for one guy. One guy. David Price, the Red Sox are 18-3 in Price's last 21 starts. He's having himself a pretty good year, as it turns out. He's unbeaten since the All-Star break. again, I think in that stretch of 21 starts, again, I said the team's 18-3. I think he is something like 15-2 during that period of time with an ERA under 3. Now, again, the Yankees loss sort of skews it because you say, well, yeah, but the big one, he get his face kicked in. Last night he wins 1-0. He looks as good as we've seen him look. And when I say, I can pick individual starts from other years that I would say he looked dynamite in and was better. For example, there was a game against the Yankees last July. I thought he was lights out. He was dominating. But if you were to say to me, for an extended stretch, what is David Price's best run as a member of the Red Sox? I tell you that when you really weigh it out, it goes back to May of this year. 21 starts. Team's 18-3, and I think he's 15-2. That's pretty good. So my question to you as a Red Sox fan is, do you feel any better about him going into October? Right now, do you feel any better? And I would tell you that I, incredibly, me, who finds negative with the Red Sox and everything, I actually feel better about Price right now than I am in a long, long, long time. I just hope I'm not a sucker and he doesn't pull the rug out from under my feet in October. But Murray, you think the odds of that are probably pretty high.
Yeah, I'm not taking the cheese on this. And if you look at his numbers from 2015 and when he ended up with the Blue Jays after that deal and he was like 9-1 or whatever it was, it's his best earned run average as a starter that year. He was dominant. He got MVP votes in 2015. And how'd that postseason work out for him?
So I'll tell you what.
I'm not buying it. And he's been phenomenal. And you're right. Like, to bring up how he's kind of helped keep this team afloat here since the All-Star break in terms of their starters, you're 100% right. This is his best stretch. No, I still don't. I'm not buying it.
So with that Blue Jays team, he ended up in the bullpen, if you remember, in the playoffs.
Right, right.
Was it Gibbons was the manager
yep.
of
yeah,
that team?
Was.
Gibbons had stuck him in the bullpen and brought him in relief. But there was a game he started in Kansas City where I want to say he took like a one-hitter into the seventh inning or something. And then it all fell apart. And if you were to go back and watch it now, he got dinked and dunked to death. Ground ball through the hole, blooper into the outfield. It started to spiral, and he really didn't pitch that bad. They blew the game. He blew the game. But I'm telling you, he got bit on the ass that day because he got bad luck. He was really good in that game, and he got totally hosed. The poor bastard. Rob's in Millbury. Rob, what do you got?
Hi, Tony. Can you give me 150 seconds? That's a minute and a half.
I can give you about 60. Go.
I got like 10 questions here.
Okay, see you later. I'm not going to screw around because it feels to me like you're playing a game. And if you're not, I apologize, but it feels like you're goofing around. Luke's in Hull. Luke, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. Hey, I want to talk about Price's resurgence because, like you said, I haven't seen him pitch this good since the Toronto days. But what do you think this impact is going to have on his contract and if he's going to opt back in or opt out?
Okay, so, Luke, what do you think?
I think he's going to try to get out because he's, you know, looking at more money now that he's pitching good.
Okay, so I don't think he's going to get more money, and I think last offseason proved it. So, again, there wasn't a ton of money being thrown around for guys. And remember, the way it looks like now, there are going to be a handful of guys on the market every year who get their money, and then everyone else is going to have to scramble for it. So you have Bryce Harper. You have Machado, and I'm not telling you Bryce Harper had a good year. I haven't looked at the pitching free agents, but I'll tell you this, that I don't think David Price is going to get on the market and get 4 years and $128 million or $127, whatever it is that he's due over the final 4 years of his deal. If he's willing to take a pay cut, he might get four and, I don't know, let's say $125 million a year. I mean, someone might give him that. But I don't know. He's not going to get the same money. And this is the part that worries me. Union won't let him. The union in that sport has an unbelievable amount of power. And they're not going to let a guy walk away from guaranteed money and take less. Now, if Price does it, in a lot of ways, I'd give him a lot of credit. I'd give him a lot of credit, but I don't think he's going to do it. And I think they told him that last offseason. Like, don't get your hopes up now. You're not bailing out. Neil is in Braintree, has a solution to the eighth inning, or maybe a solution. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, hi. One thing that we say about David Price when he comes in relief is that he's successful because he doesn't really think that much. What happens if you did that with the bullpen, where you designed each relief pitcher to get each out. Because it doesn't matter how far Sale Price go in the inning, in the game, if the bullpen gives up five runs in the eighth.
So, Neil, you're saying that you bring in one reliever for one out?
Yeah, per batter. I mean, isn't that the best way?
Okay, so, I mean, it would take forever. If it works, I guess it would be worth it. To me, the better thing is to actually have a reliever who can get three people out. That would be the way to go. But again, we played some sound for you at the beginning of the show tonight. Alex Cora talking about the kinds of things they're going to be looking for in the eighth inning. And he said versatility. We need versatility in the eighth. Now, I don't know if he meant one reliever who can get everybody out, but I doubt he meant that because I think he knows he doesn't have it. So what he says is, I think instead what he's saying is one night it might be Kelly, one night it might be Barnes, which is really the whole bullpen by committee, the new sabermetric approach, if you think it can work. And with these mental cases, I don't think it can work. So, and it puts an unbelievable amount of pressure on the manager to push the right button every night. So you could have, at a minimum, you're going to have to win 11 games in the postseason if you want to win the World Series. I say at a minimum, at a maximum, you have to win 11. Okay, so Cora is going to have to push the right button 11 times. Now, look, there might be some blowouts in there, things like that. But that puts a lot of pressure on a manager to make that decision on the fly. And not only that, I think you then start to micromanage it to the point where it really gets silly. Well, this guy is really good on sliders, so we'll keep him away from Hembry. Oh, so that means you'd put Hembry in against other guys? Like, I just think they... I think the Red Sox have taken some of this stuff to a level that is absurd. I believe in some of it. I believe in the left-right stuff in particular. But to me, the idea that you would go batter to batter depending on what kind of pitch they hit, to me, just because again, as Jimmy Stewart pointed out, a producer, all your relievers are right-handed in their fastball breaking ball. So now you get to pick which one. Which one are you going to go with? They don't have it. The bottom line is they don't have it. Hutch is in Plymouth. Go ahead, Hutch.
Hi, Mass. How you doing? Love
good.
The show.
Appreciate it.
I called it 100 wins, but I wanted to mention first about Price. I feel like I'm like a lot of other Red Sox fans around here in saying that I'm just slightly optimistic right now about Price. I mean, not only is he playing fantastic, but he's not putting his foot in his mouth the way he was on all the interviews and stuff. And I think that even just being slightly optimistic is moving the needle a huge amount compared to where it used to be because it was at zero before.
Yeah, so Hutch, look, he feels like a confident guy all of a sudden, right? I mean, like, not everything is a big deal. So he feels relaxed. He feels confident. I'm pitching this is the guy the Red Sox signed. Like, even if it isn't, as long as he believes it, that's really all that matters. You want him on the mound thinking, okay, I got it. I'm in the groove. I can do it now. Last night, Murray made the point. They zoomed in on him, rather, right before he threw his final pitch. And you see him talking to himself like, oh, boy, here we go again. He's going to psych himself out, and he's not going to be able to get the guy out. And he threw a changeup and struck him out. And so I don't know. Believing in yourself in that game, especially on the mound, is half the battle. More.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.